Tuesday, October 15th, 2013. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about a little something-something called Three Steps to a Stronger Network. And I can tell you, pretty much across the board, I think all of us could stand to have a stronger network. Wouldn't you agree? I hope you agree, because otherwise we're not, you're not going to listen to me today if you disagree. So I want you to agree with it. But before we get down to business today, I have to remember my manners. And I have a quick shout out for those of you who have been following this podcast for a while. You know that a shout out is a way of me acknowledging those who have been nice enough to stop by iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, leave some kind words. So this week's shout out is going out to, and forgive me if I'm butchering any names here. Boy, I tell you, I wouldn't want to do that. But this one is going out to Andy Monaghan. I hope I didn't screw that up, Andy. I'm so sorry if I did. And Andy was kind enough to write, "Short on theory and long on practical tips that you can easily try and apply, highly recommend." Well, thank you, Andy. I really appreciate that. And it makes me feel very, very good to hear you say that, because that is my goal here. I'm not trying to complicate anything to do with sales. I want to make this so simple that when you guys leave this podcast, you're kind of thinking, man, you know, there's no reason why I shouldn't do this. This is easy enough. Castain has dumbed it down for us. Now I got to go do it. So that's the goal of the Sales Playbook Podcast. We don't want to complicate anything. We don't need everything sounding sexy and sophisticated. I just want it so easy that you guys are going to feel, man, I got to go out and do this, man. I'm going to feel like an idiot if I don't do what Castain's telling me to do. But also, just one last note along the file, this one under a shout out also. We had a little bit of a mystery, and the mystery is solved on the Sales Playbook Podcast, ladies and gentlemen, because a few weeks ago, we received a really cool 5-star rating from somebody by the name of T-Gots. I didn't know who the hell this T-Gots person was, man. We searched high and low. I hired a team of private investigators, man. We scoured the globe. And then finally, T-Gots came forward, sent me an email, and we've learned that the true identity of T-Gots is none other than a gentleman by the name of Tony Angotti. So Tony Angotti, thank you so much for that kind review. I feel like finally the loop is closed and I've been able to give you a proper thank you. Again, Tony Angotti, thank you very, very much for that 5-star review that you left us a few weeks ago. And for those of you listening, if you find value in this podcast, boy, I'll tell you, it really helps us out an awful lot, because the more ratings we get, the higher it ranks on iTunes, because iTunes is, in fact, a search engine within itself, if you think about it. So when people are looking for sales content, they can find this podcast. And what I'm finding now is that more and more people are running into this because of you guys spreading the word. So first of all, just a really big blanket thank you to everyone who's stopping by and giving us a rating. But if you haven't yet and you find value in this, would you please stop by and I'll make sure that I leave instructions on how to leave that review in the show notes. And by the way, today's show notes can be found at yoursalesplaybook.com/90. Now, that's like 4 minutes of me going on and not giving you anything. I'm getting antsy here. So I think we've got to get down to business. Today's topic, again, three steps to a stronger network. You must write these things down. I've got a ton of stuff for you today, and I don't want you committing it to memory. And I also want to make a little bit of an agreement. We have to come to an agreement that if you hear an idea that just fits your personality, you can see yourself doing it, I don't want it to like sit in your brain. I don't even want it to sit in your journal or your notebook. I've made these so simple that it's going to take really not a tremendous amount of effort for you to do them. So if you hear an idea that you like, I want you to get out there and try it. All right. So with that, we're going to have three different steps with lots of little ideas in between. Step numero uno. This one's going to sound real basic, but you got to hear me out. You got to trust me on this. You want to show up regularly and be helpful. Show up regularly and be helpful. Now, the example I like to beat to death, and I want you to think about relationships in your personal life, because the mechanics that we use to build personal relationships really do apply when you think about it with social networking, because ultimately we're not just building some relationship with a robot, right, or some artificial being just because it's on your screen. This is a human being at the other end. So the different components certainly do apply. But now think about your personal life. If you had someone that you really didn't know yet, but you were trying to get to know, and they were kind of here for a week, maybe they were gone for 5 more weeks after that. So they were kind of here, showing up, and gone for 5 weeks. Then they're back for 3 weeks, gone for 4 months, and back and forth, and so it goes, right? Now, would you really trust that person? Would you really get to know them? Would they be somebody that you would even be thinking about or regarding? Probably not. So why would we do that in a social networking venue? And yet many of us sit here and go, duh, and yeah, it makes sense, and guilty as charged, but yet we continue to network that way. And by the way, just in case I turned you off with that phrase social networking, yeah, I don't really get that, Castain, I don't buy into it, but you know, you're right, I'm going to listen to you for a little while today. Man, you're an entertaining dude, Castain, and besides, man, you're like, keep me company while I'm driving and sitting in traffic. Well, I want to tell you, you could really look at your prospecting activities in general under the same heading, in a way, in the same feel, in the same context, because many times we'll go hot and heavy with the calls and showing up and getting in their face, and then we disappear. Then we're back. Then we're gone. Then we're back. And we're not doing it consistently. So we've got to show up regularly and be helpful. Now, let me just give you just a few ways that you can do that. But one little point there that's very important. I think that, you know, we're not going into this with a checklist, things to do. Check out and not be there and just be a flake and just be here and gone and here and gone. I don't think that's our intent. I just think that many of us lose our patience with building a network, whether it's kind of the traditional way of building a network or this social networking stuff that I like to talk about. It's the same thing. I think a lot of us lose our patience. And I think the hardest lesson, I've been really thinking about this lately, because I am now just about at the 5-year mark when I decided it was time to build my personal brand. And I will promise you, you would not be listening to this right now if I didn't make that decision 5 years ago. So the thing I want to tell you, I was thinking about this. I was like, well, what is the biggest lesson that I've learned over the last 5 years? And I think I finally, at 48 years old, have learned to be patient. And I'm dead serious. I mean, I kid around about a lot of things, but I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but traditionally, over the years, I've been a very impatient person. It's helped me in some ways because I have a very high level of urgency and just like that typical type A. When I see an objective, I go after it with everything I have. But I just don't know that I had the level of patience that I needed to properly build a network gradually over time. So if you'd please write this down, it's a phrase that I've said over and over and over again, just in terms of getting your mindset in the right place before I give you all these how-to instructions today. You need to have the patience to court your network, like a courtship, like an old-fashioned courtship, right? Ultimately, with the purpose of hopefully that they're going to marry you. That's what we want out of this, not just to have another 10,000 followers or 10,000 quote-unquote connections, and we're getting into this kind of networking pissing contest, like, I got more people following me than you. No, we're hoping that we are going to court them to the point that they just, like, marriage, man, is the only option, man. They just love us to death, right? So here's the phrase that I want you to really own. You need the patience to court your network, and you need the urgency to show up regularly and consistently and daily. So let's talk about how you can do that, because that's a great phrase to make. And maybe I got a few amens to those of you driving along the freeway and just kind of doing an out loud amen and like people looking at you like you're crazy. Or maybe it was in your cubicle and the boss comes over and goes, "What's going on, man? You're supposed to be on the phone. What are you doing, dude?" But here are a few things. In terms of your status updates, you really need to show up in there daily. And even a few times a day. Now, I'm not saying you have to go the opposite way. Like, there's some people out there, I think they're like, an amateur, like, newscaster or something, man. It's like every second they're tweeting something, or every second they're updating their status updates. Man, that's just, that might be a bit on the overkill side. But what I want you to think about is you need to show people in these status updates, right, that you're still around and become top of mind with them and kind of get on their radar screen. So there's a few ways that you can do this. And I want to put something to rest immediately. I think there's a lot of people, and I've been guilty of this to a certain extent too, that love to put lots and lots of links to stuff in their status updates or on Twitter and Google Plus and even on their Facebook fan pages and stuff. And I think that can exist in there, and it should exist in there, but also too, I think too many times, what started off as like a good intention turned into broadcast and spewing like a just like a fire hose full of stuff, and it doesn't really encourage a lot of interaction, does it? So I want you to think about that sparingly, but think beyond links. And here are a few things. How about putting a question in your status update? See, the funny thing about questions that a lot of people forget about in its most basic form, a question inspires an answer, which kind of jumpstarts a dialogue, doesn't it? So if you want interaction, which I'm hoping you do, because think about the first word in social networking. It's social. And you really can't get much more social than creating a dialogue with someone when you think about it. And I think you can create a lot more dialogue with a question than you can by putting maybe 50 links a day like some people are doing. So start with a question. I mean, one of the questions that I always like to start out with on, I do it on Twitter, I also do it on LinkedIn. I've done it on Google Plus. I'm not getting a lot of traction on Google Plus. I think I'll man up and tell you that's more of a Paul Castain problem than it is a Google Plus problem. I mean, I would rather, my ego and I would rather blame Google Plus and tell you that they suck. But it's me. I really haven't figured it out and cracked the code yet. But for now, let's talk about Twitter and LinkedIn. I always start off every day. Maybe it's a warm and fuzzy kind of corny question, but it works for me and it works for a lot of people that are in my network and a lot of my clients. I simply start off with a good morning. How can I help someone today? Good morning. How can I help someone today? Or good morning. How can I help you today? Maybe like in all caps, you today. And a lot of people ask me about that. Hey, do people take you up on that, Castain? And it's funny, when I first started doing that, I want to say it was 2 years ago, but I'm thinking it might have been close to about a year, year and a half ago. But, you know, sometimes when you hit 48, man, your memory gets a little crazy, man. Who knows? Maybe it was like 3 years ago. But anyway, in the last few years that I've been doing this, when I first started, I didn't get any answers. And then I kind of thought, well, maybe I should, like anything else, right? You kind of think, oh, maybe this isn't working. Maybe this is stupid. Get a little self-conscious. And then little by little, people started responding privately to me and maybe asking for my advice on something and maybe asking for help with something. I found a lot of people who were maybe in transition right now between jobs asked if I knew anyone in my network perhaps that was hiring, things like that. And now it's at the point, every time I ask that question, I can pretty much tell you I probably get 3 to 5 private responses a day. Now, there's a lot of people that think, oh, great, isn't that a big waste of your time? And I mean, who has time for that? And my response is a real wise ass type of feel to it. What I like to say is, I've got nothing but time for that. And let me tell you why. I would much rather deal with 3 to 5 people who really need my help, need answers to a question, and where I can demonstrate my expertise to them, then make a bunch of cold calls that, quite frankly, I don't think are as useful to me and what I'm trying to do. Maybe for you they are, and I'm not saying this is a replacement for that, but there was a time, if you knew me a few years ago, I was a big proponent of, hey, 300 cold calls a week. You suck if you don't have that phone glued to your ear. And now I kind of see it a little bit differently. So when you look at things like this, this is what you want to be doing. Now, I'm not saying that means you give away the store for free and that you give it all away, empty out your bank account. I'm just saying that when you help people and you open yourself up, you truly become a resource beyond just telling everybody that you're a resource and I create value for my network. Well, how? How do you create value and how are you a resource? This is a way that you can do it. So start off your day by asking, how can I help someone today? Now, the other thing that you can do is you can poll your network and you could ask for their opinion on something or ask for just general thoughts on a particular topic that you know your target audience would really find value. And just as a side note, one of the ways that you do that is you kind of goes back to an exercise I always talk about. You have to mentally fire yourself. Rehire yourself as the person that would ideally buy your product or service. And think about this a few ways. Number one, what would just aggravate the heck out of me in that role and all the responsibilities I would have if I were the person who buys my product or service? And then you can't stop there. Most people do. They've been taught in sales, which I disagree with, by the way, that you have to go for the pain. Yeah, I do agree that you have to go after pain, but if that's all you got and there's no pain, guess what? Like I always say, you have a whole lot of nothing, and that's not going to serve you. So you also have to think about opportunity, because if there's not pain, there's certainly opportunity that they could be embracing. So think about the things that businesses want that you can help them achieve. And from there, what you're going to do is now you can maybe pull your audience on ideas that you generated from that you know are hot topics. And just one other little thing, I'm sorry, I'm adding lots of little bonus tips. If you're still at a loss, go into some of the industry groups on LinkedIn where your industry hangs out. See what people are talking about there. What are the topics? That will give you an indication of maybe some things that you could ask within your status update. Now, there's another side to this too, which is really cool. As long as you fired yourself and you looked at what would be painful and what would be helpful, and maybe you've gone into the LinkedIn groups and see what the hot topics are, you can also now take those hot topics and you can demonstrate your expertise by putting a very brief tip within your status update. And what I highly recommend that you do, because I know that you're busy, but when you batch activities together, it's a tremendous time saver because your brain is already just fixated on that particular task. So if you literally, what you could do inside of about 15 minutes, because your brain's already on the subject of thinking of some cool tips, you could just like write very brief tips. You could do 5 of them. So this, and think like Monday through Friday. You could write them ahead of time, put them in a Word doc. So come Monday, you cut and paste the tip for Monday. Come Tuesday, so on and so forth. So highly recommend that. And by the way, let's just do a quick timeout. Asking people how you can help them, polling your audience and giving a tip so far, isn't that a little more helpful than just spewing a bunch of links that everybody else and their mother is doing? So the other things that you can do, and this is kind of some cool stuff here, how about finding ways to make other people look like rock stars? Think about that. Find ways to make other people look like rock stars. Now, there's several ways. I want to get you thinking on this one because they're going to love you when you make them look good because, you know the old saying, right? What's everybody's favorite subject? Give you a hint, it's not you. It's them. So I think what happens in these status updates sometimes, certainly, I mean, you can't see me right now. I got my hand up saying guilty. I've done this. I'm certainly not perfect in this area. But a lot of people, they're so focused on themselves and getting their content and getting their message that they forget that everyone has a story and wants to be heard. So one way that you can make other people look like a rock star is by visiting their status update and validating them and making them look good and complimenting them genuinely. I would not obviously compliment someone just to check this one off the list of things Castain told you to do. You got to mean it. If you don't mean it, I wouldn't do it. I think you're going to do more. I mean, you got to be real about this stuff, right, folks? People are going to see through you. And so that's one way that you can do it. But the other way, I mean, it's really cool, especially on LinkedIn. You can do this. You can certainly do this on Twitter. You can definitely do this on Google+. And you could also do it, obviously, on Facebook, kind of like the big four social networks. You can share their content and retweet it. Or on LinkedIn, you can kind of you hit the share button. And don't just share it. I think that's a mistake a lot of us make. I would share it with a quick comment if there's room in there for you to do that. Because sometimes on Twitter, you don't have the room, whatever. But I would put a quick little comment. And the reason why is simply because most people don't. And it just looks like sometimes people are just sharing it so that you share their stuff. You know the deal, right? So if you do that, I think it's another opportunity to stand out, offer a genuine compliment, or maybe a quick sentence on why you think this is important to your network, or even note to network, awesome article with 10 ways to blah, 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 blah. Check it out. That kind of thing. I would definitely do that. You know, the other thing that you can do that'll be very, very helpful, and remember, this is what we're talking about. Show up regularly and be helpful. The other thing that you could do is be a public matchmaker. And the way I do that is I'll put a statement out there. I do it on Twitter all the time. I'll put everyone, please meet, and I'll put that person's handle. And I do that all the time. Almost, I would say almost once a day I do that. And certainly every other day I'm doing that. But you could also do it on LinkedIn. What's really cool now about LinkedIn, again, the big four, LinkedIn, Twitter, Google+, and Facebook, is that you can kind of tag people. And that's probably the wrong phrase I'm using, but tag them and call them out by name. So this way, two things will happen. Number one, the person that you're, or mentioning them, I'm sorry, that would be a better way to put it. You can mention them. And two things will happen. Number one, they will be flagged that they have been mentioned. So it gets you on their radar screen again. But the other thing is that it shares this person with your network. And in a way, I'm not saying that you do it because of this, but think about this need that people have to reciprocate. So when people see you doing things like that and know that you genuinely have their best interests in mind, I believe that you are conditioning them to do the same with you. Now, again, I cannot be clear enough on this. I don't want you doing it simply to inspire that. I am offering that as a residual benefit to doing the right thing. So I think that is a very, very important thing to consider. But be a matchmaker. Everyone please meet. And sometimes I'll have fun with it. You know, everyone please meet. And then I'll name that person. Joe Jones, please meet everyone. It was hard getting him here, but I got him here. You know, and I'll be goofy or something. Nothing wrong with that. But I think that's important. And the final thing under showing up regularly and being helpful, and this is one I know I've beaten to death, so forgive me, but every time I bring it up and I apologize for beating it to death, I swear to you, every time I do this, I get an email from someone saying, yep, I've heard you say it now for 2 years, and today's the day I actually did it, Castain. So go figure. But every 4 to 6 weeks, you want to send a resource out to your entire network. And a lot of reasons why you want to do that. It's a great way to get on their radar screen without being salesy. Sending something, just unconditional, no strings attached. I would also say that it should be brand, like 98% of the time, brand agnostic. In other words, it's not something from your company or that it's our free report. It's just like other things that are useful. Like, let me give you some ideas to get your wheels turning. When I say that I send a resource out to my network every 4 to 6 weeks, I found that people love apps. I don't know about you guys. I love apps too, and I love and it's constantly evolving. I don't make every one of my resource an app. It's like, here we go again, Castain the app addict, right? What I do is sometimes I'll send out apps. I remember like a few years ago when Evernote first started getting some traction and people hearing about it, and I discovered it. I sent the link out for that so that they could download that. Another thing, too, and I always use the same example. Forgive me again. Lots of apologies today, but here we go. A few years ago, I had found a free conference call service that, I don't know if it's like up to 500 or 1,000 lines free. No strings attached, by the way. So I sent that out to my network. I've introduced people to my network. Again, going back to that make someone look like a rock star thing. Someone I felt that they should know. Again, no strings attached there. I wasn't playing into my agenda, kissing somebody's tail so that then they had to do something for me. I don't like that stuff, by the way. And I never play that because I think that it's very insulting to your audience and people are smart enough to see through that, that that's why you're doing it. So I would be very careful in kind of that artificial stuff. You got to mean it. But then I also take a 2% liberty because this is the 98-2 rule. So 98% of the time has nothing to do with Castain training systems or your sales playbook. 2% of the time, it might be, like I just did recently, a free report that I had put out. Another thing that I had done was I had done a blog post a few weeks ago. Many of you might remember it. It was like five free resources that I offer, and this podcast is one of them. I have a free stuff page on my website with all kinds of free ebooks and stuff, and I wanted people to know about it. But again, I think just a final phrase for you to just write down and own is always be helpful, not salesy. Be helpful, not salesy, because when you're being helpful, people will look forward to your messages. People will kind of seek you out, see what you're up to. But when you're being salesy, it's kind of like that pain in the neck at a networking event that's just going around and just like bombing people with their cards and interrupting discussions. So you got to be careful of that. So that's step number one, which I beat up quite a bit. Let's go to step number two. And this one, I can tell you, a lot of people just don't do at all. And this one is deadly. You need to expand and move your relationships to other networks. Now, I don't mean just like kind of drop the original network where you connected. I mean expand and go to other places. So let me tell you why you want to do this. The first thing you have to remember is that everyone, including those of you listening to this, we all have our preferred venue of communication, and in this case, our preferred social network. And some of them, even though you met on, say, LinkedIn, it might be Twitter, or maybe it's Google+, or maybe it's Facebook, maybe it's everything but LinkedIn. And the problem is that when you only leave that relationship in one place, you now limit yourself. And it might be a situation where they just kind of go through the motions on LinkedIn or on Google+, but yet they're all over the place on Twitter. They love it. And I find that out all the time with my network. So that opens up your possibilities. And remember, don't let your own biases kind of sway your opinion. Like many times when I have this talk, when I'm doing a keynote address or something, somebody else will come over to me and say, Paul, I agree with you, but I disagree with you because I don't get Twitter or I don't get this Facebook thing. It's for personal and I really don't want to do that with people, whatever. And my response is always the same. It's nobody cares what you get. Sorry, it's harsh. I know. Forgive me. Right there I go, apologizing again. It's like, you know, it's like we're going to have to do a group hug after this podcast this week. But the fact still remains. You're kidding yourself if you think that your prospect or your customer or this audience that you want to reach sits around wondering what you get and make that as part of their decision as to whether or not they're going to show up. They're going to show up regardless. And if your competitors show up and you don't, man, you're out of luck. So the other thing, too, I think you have to think, going back to the relationship thing, when you are courting your significant other or when you're dating or even friendship, right? There are different places that we hang out with our family and friends and significant others. And sometimes, heck, man, maybe we're going to do a movie night, right? We're going to stay at home, do a movie night. Other nights, we're gonna go and go out for a nice dinner. Another night, we might have a barbecue. We might go on a picnic. Walks along the beach, right? I mean, we can go on and on and on, but there are different places you hang out. And in different places, man, there are different protocols. And we could get to know each other from a different angle, different perspective. Plus, it's one more place that we're hanging out together. So I think that's very, very important. So there are a few kind of instructions that I have for you in order to do this. I think the first place that you need to expand your relationships and move them to or expand and kind of move them into other social networking platforms is from Hello. When you connect with someone, what you ought to do is you ought to send a letter to them right through the social network thanking them for connecting with you. And just simply saying, here are some other places where we can connect, and list all the other places where you hang out, Twitter and Google Plus and all those things. And the other thing that you can do, the other opportunity, that was opportunity number one. And by the way, opportunity number one and the second thing, it's almost the same letter that I use. It's like maybe one or two sentences that get changed. So like almost like word for word, you could use the same letter. So from Hello, I do this, but then twice a year, I send out to my entire social network an email that basically says, where else can we connect? And I'll put something in there along the lines of, I know that all of us have our preferred places where we love to hang out. Here are some of the places where I hang out. But both letters, right, that one from Hello and this one share something else in common. The way I end the letter is very, very important, because when I get done with it, I say, enough about me. Where else can I connect with you? Because, see, questions, it goes back to that status update things. When you ask a question, you're inviting a conversation. And I really can't think of anything more social in social networking than you and I actually having a conversation. I mean, it's a heck of a lot better than liking, right? Or that kind of stuff. So, or what is it? I hesitate. Like that really awkward Facebook poke. I mean, what the hell were they thinking there? Right? Anyway. Don't get me started. So, you know, the thing that you might want to do too, because we're talking about expanding and moving your relationships. I gave you an example within social networking, how you can do it. But you can also do this on those emails that you send out. You have an auto signature. What you can do is, why don't you put a PS underneath all your regular contact information, like your phone number and whatever else, the name of your company and your title or whatever, some motivational quote or whatever you do, and then just have a PS in there, and maybe something like, are we connected on LinkedIn? Or come join our Facebook community or something like that, because you want to kind of take all of your relationships and bring them to other places so that they have a chance to thrive in new and exciting ways. Plus, it might just be the place where they're hanging out all the time and you might actually bump into them there more than in other places. So in your PS message, you can do that. I highly recommend, you're going to want to circle this one, put little arrows over here, dude, and stuff, or dudette. And I highly recommend that you take a look at your prospects right now. Every one of them should be invited into your social network. Every one of them should. And there's reasons for this. First of all, it is an incredible insurance policy for you. How is it an insurance policy? At some point, and by the way, before I explain that one, not just prospects, I left that an important one. Your prospects and your customers. So before I explain this to you, right now, one of your action items from this week's podcast is that this week you are to look at all your prospects that you have, all of your customers, and send them invites and just start connecting with them in these other places. Now, let's get into this why thing that I've been avoiding. It's an insurance policy for you. It's an insurance policy because if for some reason any of these people go MIA on you, or they disappear, or even, God forbid, you lose somebody as a customer, you have one more place where you can bump into them. You have one more place where they can admire you from afar. And by the way, time out on that note. You do understand that this is one of the biggest changes right now in history that we're seeing. It's in how people buy things. People, in many cases, they're doing all their research ahead of time, right? Duh, Paul. We all know that. We've heard that one. But in many times, they want to kind of admire us from afar. Now, if you think I'm kidding, maybe you're doing that with me. Maybe you're considering utilizing me for some of my services and you kind of hang out with me on my podcast. Maybe, in fact, this is interesting. I get these letters all the time. I just had, it was probably two people, maybe three. I think it was two this week. Reached out to me and they were interested in my one-on-one coaching. And both of them said that they have been following me for 2+ years. So again, that's people are watching us from afar. So you want to give that to people. Give them that opportunity to buy the way they want to buy, kind of like watching us anonymously from afar, that kind of thing. You want to create that. But, you know, there's an interesting expression I want you to write down. And it's kind of a big word and a bit of a tongue twister by a gentleman by the name of Tom Martin. He's an author, and he's written a book called The Invisible Sale. And he calls it propinquity points. Propinquity points. These are, and again, I'm not going to quit my day job and become a thesaurus or anything like that, but what this means is that we want to have places that kind of we have in common and that we bump into each other. So if you have expanded your traditional relationships and given additional places where you can bump into each other, it can serve you very, very well. If you're doing that first step, by the way, where you're showing up consistently, being helpful, you can demonstrate your expertise, and people can admire you from afar. This is just a critical point of building a powerful network. And it takes patience. This is not something that you're going to go, okay, I bought in. And then a week later, man, why aren't these things that Castain told me to do working for me yet? No, man, you got to. I've been at it 5 years. And, I mean, I'm in this for the long haul, man. I'll be at this 20 and 30 years one day with my old ass trying to do this stuff. But anyway, I think it's really, really important that you grasp that. And there's one other thing, too. Think about your traditional networks. Anytime you are at a networking event or you're doing some networking and you're kind of exchanging information, I think one of the questions you should ask, I wouldn't do it right out of the gate, but maybe as the conversation's winding down, perhaps, maybe at that point, maybe where you would exchange business cards, ask them, hey, are you on any of the social networks? Are you on LinkedIn? Are you on Google+, Twitter, whatever? And make it a point. I mean, heck, if you could do it right then and there with your smartphone and you have like the LinkedIn app or something like that, send each other an invite right then and there. So this way it's done. And also it's a little awkward not to accept your invite when you're standing right in front of them. So that's something that you might want to do. Again, take out that insurance policy. Very, very important. And that certainly brings us to item number three, step number three. What you want to do, and I think this one right here either makes or breaks your social networking efforts. You need to move your virtual relationships. In other words, you have to move these relationships that are sitting securely on your computer screen right now to real time. You have to move it from that computer screen to real time. I will tell you that you have a higher probability of converting them into a client once you've had some real-time interaction with them. My definition of real-time, phone or face-to-face. Now, there is a bit of a mistake that I think a lot of people make with this. The minute they connect, they're trying to get in front of them for a cup of coffee or something. I think for some people, and maybe it's just me, and a lot of people don't believe this about me, I do tend to be more of an introvert, more on the shy side. It's just like a little too intrusive for me when people do that. I kind of like to, again, get to know them from afar. Maybe we kind of share a few things virtually first. Then we transition. But either way, whether you're into the timing of this or not, I think it's very, very important that you move it off of your screen. I can also tell you that people are quicker to help you when they've spoken with you. And not that we should be doing this whole social networking thing to take from people, but I think that you're real as far as they're concerned. You're an actual person now, not just connection number 1900 in their network. So one little thing that I want you to do every single week, I want you to set a goal that you're going to take your social network, your virtual network, and you're going to identify three people each and every week. At least three people, by the way. I would put like three plus, because the more the better. And you're going to move those relationships into real time. Now, this one I'm going to tease you a bit on. If you go back to the show notes, yoursalesplaybook.com/90, there will be a link there. And many of you have this already, but many of you don't, to a free 16-page report. Yes, you heard that right. A free 16-page, no strings attached, by the way, report on how you can do this step by step. And I show you what you say to these people to set up this conversation or a cup of coffee if you're doing it that way. What to say during that conversation, because it's critical. You can't just make it a glorified sales pitch. People people really don't appreciate that. You can't go about social networking like a cold call. It's going to really piss a lot of people off. And again, it's going to go back to that, you know, that person I'm talking about, like that guy or that girl, right? At a networking event that's coming around interrupting and just getting in your face, and it's all about them and they're pitching you. And then like you finally get a word in edgewise, and you know what they're doing? They're like looking around you for somebody else to connect with, right? You know the person I'm talking about. Well, that's kind of what you become if you abuse this little technique that I'm giving you. So if you're interested in that, all you have to do is go back to the show notes, check out the free report. I've gotten a lot of great feedback on that, and I think we've given it out now. I think it's about 7,500 people have downloaded this. So I highly recommend that you do that. You know, one other thing that I want you to think about, and then we'll wrap up, because there's a lot here that we have today. You know, whenever you travel, make sure you look up your contacts that are in that area, because why not just get maximum impact from that trip and not only do whatever it is that you're there to do, but meet some people that you might not have an opportunity to meet face-to-face again. So I think that's important. You know, and there's a really cool app on LinkedIn, and they kind of changed it around, because it used to be you can get it from LinkedIn. Now you have to go directly to the company that does it. There's something called TripIt, TRIPIT. And let's just kind of call it the TripIt app. And what this does, it integrates with LinkedIn. So when you have a trip coming up or whatever, you can kind of just like post the information that you're going to be traveling to Florida, for example, and you plug in the dates and what dates you're going to be there and everything. And if you integrate it with LinkedIn, which you can, but you have to do it from TripIt, by the way. That's the key thing to remember here. Do it from TripIt, because then you could do it. Then what will happen is on your update, on your status update, it will show Joe Jones is going to Florida, whatever, on this date. And what it does is it kind of gives other people in your network kind of a social clue. I have this phrase, and I call it social clues. Social clues are things that either you put out there or your audience has that you have to watch for that enables you to be, get ready for this. This will blow your mind. Social, right? I mean, it's just incredible what we're saying here. You could actually be social when you're social networking. I mean, like this guy Castain's brilliant here, right? Imagine that, being social on a social network. I mean, wow, how does he think of this stuff? Anyway, that's what I tell my wife all the time. But it would be a really awesome thing for you to check out. I'm going to see if I can put that in the show notes. I don't want to spoil you guys with all the stuff in the show notes, but you can always visit the show notes at yoursalesplaybook.com/90. Two quick things we'll wrap up, and both of them are just mini commercials. So if that annoys you, bail out now, and we'll see you next time. But I want to let you know, it was about 2 years ago, I guess, I had written, pretty popular, by the way, 90-page social networking ebook, and all these things that I covered today and like a ton more is in there, where I give you step-by-step instructions on like what to say to people and kind of, all right, well, we've connected with each other, now what? And that's the biggest problem that people have. They don't know what to do after they connect with somebody, and either they do nothing, which doesn't serve you, or they just go immediately into a sales pitch, which also doesn't serve you at all. And with things as they are right now, word travels quickly that you're being a tool and that's not going to serve you. So if these things interested you today, that would be a really good thing for you to consider as a next step. I will have that in the show notes as well. And finally, I just have a quick note, because time is kind of ticking away on this. If you lead a sales team, I don't care if you're a business owner or if you're a sales manager, or we have a lot of VPs of sales out here, 3 weeks from now, maybe a little over 3 weeks from now, on November 6th, we're going to be launching a 6-session online sales leadership course. And just to give you a quick breakdown, and again, you can read all the juicy details in the show notes if this interests you, but there's going to be two of those 6 sessions that are going to be dedicated to hiring sales rock stars, because I know lots of people in my private coaching practice come to me on that one, and they need help hiring people, and they just make some mistakes, and sometimes these mistakes are very costly to their team. Plus, let's not talk negative. When we bring on somebody, and maybe not necessarily somebody that's going to hit the ground in 3 months and is going to be selling $1 million for us, but somebody that gradually builds up and over time is going to be this rock star that you want, man, it could really make a difference on a sales team. But two sessions on that. We're also going to be talking about how to create, or I'm going to be offering you a detailed onboarding process. I think that's very, very important that kind of, again, from hello, we get people going in the right direction. We're going to talk about coaching to higher levels of performance. We're also going to talk about how to facilitate awesome sales meetings. And I'm telling you, for those of you who've been following me for a while, you know that, like, I despise, I mean, seriously, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me, a bad sales meeting, because I've sat through bad sales meetings. And quite frankly, when I was first beginning as a sales manager, I mean, I was guilty of some really bad sales meetings, of just kind of going around talking about numbers or kind of beating up your team, or just like meetings that just drag on and everybody's going on tangents, and you walk away from there just drained. So I'm very passionate about this idea of how to create a valuable sales meeting. So we're going to be talking about that. I have lots of ideas. And then finally, we're going to talk about how to create a high-performance culture within your team. If that's something that interests you, my suggestion is enroll soon, because we're going to be pulling the plug on it in a few weeks from now. And again, if you circle back to the show notes, you'll be able to find it. And with that, I am Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.